What's up, Overflow? You guys doing good? Yeah? Awesome. Hey, so my name is Clay, and you guys know me for the most part. Tonight looks a little different, doesn't it? And tonight's gonna be different, and that's cool. We like doing things different. And tonight, the reason why we decided to bring my living room on stage is because we want to start a conversation tonight. We want to start a conversation with you about mental and emotional health, about the way in which we engage our thoughts, the way in which we engage our emotions, and how for a lot of us, a lot of times, you know, our thoughts and our emotions, they overwhelm us, right? And so we wanna talk about it here tonight. And we could have had, you know, an amazing message tonight. We'll get to that next week. We'll have an amazing message from our pastor. But tonight, we just wanna talk. We wanna begin the conversation with you guys. We want you to enter into the conversation with us. And so we thought, what better way to do that than for us to go first? To go first in sharing the way in which we have struggled with mental and emotional health, the way that we've kind of worked on it and continue to work through it. And so I've invited some of my best friends on stage, some people that I really do look up to and admire and respect a whole lot, to be able to share how they have walked through these things. And so in a second, I'm going to have them introduce themselves to you. But right now, I want you guys to introduce yourselves to each other. So just take like 30 seconds and just stay seated. Introduce yourself to people around you, because these are people that you're in conversation with. Say hi, and we'll keep going, okay? Perfect. Now that you know everybody out there, I want these guys to introduce themselves to you and just share, like, really quickly why you're here. Like, why are you so passionate about Overflow? Why are you so passionate about college students that you three would be so vulnerable to be up here on stage tonight having this conversation? You can go first.
Sure thing. So, guys, I'm Courtney Everett. I'm Clay's wife. And for me, I just experienced huge transformation during my years in college. It was such a formative time in my life, in my relationship with Christ, and definitely with just this wrestling with anxiety, I would say. It was kind of where the rubber met the road, and I started going forward, really forward. And so anything I can do to help enter in that conversation and serve you guys, I want to do it, and I want to be here for it. So that's why I'm here tonight.
Cool, thanks.
My name is Zach, and I actually had the cool opportunity to go through Overflow for 4 years as a student at UNCW. And so Overflow was always just a really huge part of my walk, mm-hmm. and learning how to walk with God. And it was also, the college season was when I really kind of grasped that I had a problem with anxiety early on. So, you know, now I just have the honor of getting to meet with college students all the time as my job through Overflow. And I get to meet with a lot of guys, and it's funny. You know, I find that most guys are either emotionally or mentally constipated, per se. So, so I get to kind of like wrestle through that with them, because that was me in college, and now I have the opportunity to help others realize that we're all struggling and realize that we can struggle well, yeah. and struggle together.
It's awesome.
Well, my story is a little different in that I'm not from here, and in college, even though I went to a private Christian school in northern Indiana, I didn't have this type of a ministry that offered such vulnerability and authenticity, and so naturally, when I started playing in the worship band here, I was drawn to Overflow, and then when I had the opportunity to come on staff almost 3 years ago, it was a really cool way for me to try to impact or have some sort of effect on you all in the way that I wish that I had been impacted, or had the opportunity at least. So it's a very special thing for me to be able to do that from behind the scenes, yeah. and to work alongside all of them to help try to do that.
That's awesome. Cool. So we want to talk about emotional and mental health because really we believe that we all have issues. Like we all have our own set of issues. They're all different, which is why it's so difficult, right? We all have issues. So this is where like I just want to kind of put it out there for you three to begin to share your issues with everyone out here, which is awesome. And just to kind of begin to unpack this idea of emotional mental health and how you guys have struggled. So let me just kind of start with where it began, like where you began to recognize an issue, where you began to recognize some emotional or mental unhealth in your life, and then we'll kind of take it from there. Zach, you wanna go first?
Sure.
Like
sure.
Literally?
I'll start.
Okay.
Okay, so it's interesting for me because I've never identified myself really as an anxious person. Like I know that there's definitely times where I was definitely anxious and went through stress, but I never identified in that way. But now that I look back on my life, there's some really kind of telltale signs that kind of show how that might have started in my life. You know, like first of all, when you grow up as a guy playing sports, if you ever encounter, you know, if you don't feel good or if you feel pain, they're just like, suck it up, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what I did, you know? And I went through, you know, I've had a great life, but in middle school, you know, there were some things. My dad had a heart attack and had to go through a massive surgery for that, which was kind of jarring. And then in my sophomore year in high school, I lost one of my best childhood friends in a car accident. And so, you know, I was able to come out of those things pretty well, but looking back now, a lot of what I did was I just sucked it up, mm-hmm. you know? And I think from that, I was able to start seeing some kind of some physiological manifestations, some physical things that started coming as a result of just sucking it up. Mm-hmm. And so really it started in high school when I was a junior. I actually went through a period of time where I was insomniac, meaning that I could just not fall asleep at night, and it was the worst. And not only that, if I was ever able to fall asleep, I couldn't stay asleep. So it was just this terrible cycle of you're tired all day and you can't wait to get home and just go and pass out. But then you go and you lay in your bed and your mind is racing. And no matter what you can do, you just can't fall asleep. And so actually, I had a friend's mom give me this like sleep CD, which kind of like had all these weird methods to kind of like unwind and slow down and like count backwards. And next thing you know, like you'd be asleep and the CD would just be skipping. So, you know, I kind of dealt with that. And it really wasn't until college. I remember I had a conversation with someone one day and they were like, man, I slept so bad last night. And I was like, yeah. And they were like, yeah, I woke up like twice. I was like, you're kidding me. You know, like, I'm used to waking up, like, 5 or 6 times every night or not being able to fall asleep until, like, 2 a.m. And that was the first time I think I really realized that the things that I was holding on to, some of the things that I had, I also have, like, a shake, like, a tremor that kind of is persistent all the time. And I have, like, a naturally faster heart rate. And I think that was really one of the first times where I realized that the things that I was struggling with might be a little bit unique, mm-hmm. You know, in that way. And, you know, it was really in college where I kind of started realizing that some of those things might be more than just little physical things mm-hmm. that happen, yeah. that there might be more underneath of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, I think for me, I can look back and see real clearly when I was in 7th grade, that was when I went to middle school, and my grandmother passed away that summer between that transition of elementary school and middle school. And I entered in school, and I was doing fine. I was kind of sucking it up, like Zach just said. I felt like I had to be strong for everyone around me. My mom was really upset and kind of falling apart. My grandfather was falling apart, and my dad traveled a lot, and I had a younger brother. So I needed to hold it all together. Like, I needed to be a rock. And in the midst of feeling that way and feeling like everything needed to be perfect, I started realizing that I wasn't dealing with life at all, that this growing angst was just increasing inside of me to a point where I exploded in math class, literally, and I think it was algebra or pre-algebra, whatever you take in 7th grade, probably pre-algebra. And I was sitting on the front row because I wanted to, life just needed to be perfect and everything needed to be right, and I just melted down. And I remember my math teacher, Mr. Miskowitz, took me in the hallway and was just like, are you okay? And I was just like, no, I'm not okay. Like, everything is not okay. And I just wept in his arms. And I remember having a conversation after that with my mom and realizing that the way that I was dealing with life and the fact that the world wasn't perfect and things weren't going to go right all the time was really with an anxious response, with angst and just this sense of out of controlness inside of me. So yep. For me, that's where it all started.
Yeah, for me, it's similar in that my journey with mental health issues kind of started at a really young age, but it was kind of unfortunate because I've always been kind of a sensitive, emotional person, which is kind of a tough thing when you're in sixth grade and you're crying to Boys to Men CD or something. People interpret that. You know, I think I'm misunderstood a little bit at that age. And so I think the unfortunate thing was for environmental reasons and everything in my household, that was interpreted and misunderstood. And so I had what I look at back now as an unfortunate kind of turn where I ended up in psychologists and psychiatric offices weekly from sixth grade through middle school and high school and under a lot of different medications and stuff. And a lot of that was stemming from a lot of different pressures and stuff. So everything kind of perpetuated. Which was really unfortunate, and I began to identify myself as that because I didn't have a way out of it, and I was kind of confused, like, is this really who I am, or am I just this emotional, sensitive person, which I've now learned that I am. My wife has, you know, affirmed that over and over again, and so I, looking back, you know, I can see that I was okay, but I just didn't have a way to kind of reconcile and deal with that appropriately.
Yeah. So, JJ, I'd love to hear from you then from you too. Just like, what was the effect of that emotional, mental unhealth? Like, what did it do in you? Like, how did that make you feel? And then, like, how did you begin to deal with it? Because that it requires a point in which you begin to kind of process and deal with it. So, what did it do in you, and then when did you begin to deal with it?
Yeah, so the journey with that, like I said, was through middle school and high school, and everything kind of came to a head when I got to college, and so I was on a scholarship to play basketball, which is probably not much of a surprise for those of you that know me, that I'm very tall, so I was able to use that for a while. But with that came a lot of different pressures that I wasn't quite prepared for, being sensitive and emotional and everything. There were a lot of different expectations and things that were sort of put out there that I wasn't able to deal with at that young age. And so all that weight began to get to a point where I didn't really have an answer. I didn't really know what the answer was. I didn't know Jesus. I wasn't, even though I was at a private Christian school, all of this walking with Jesus was new. And so I didn't know what else to do, and had a lot of moments where, you know, I would contemplate suicide, and actually at one point, one day I was unfortunately at my lowest point and actually attempted, made the attempt to take my life, and by the grace of God, it didn't work for numerous reasons that I won't get into, but definitely the hand of God was definitely with me that day, and has been ever since. And that shape-shifting time period from my freshman year and my sophomore year were the worst 2 years of my life. And included in that worst time of my life was when I actually accepted Jesus. But that's where I think the powerful part began in my journey, and that once I moved here, I actually started dealing with all the things of my own, with how to work through all the things that not only were in my past, but that I was able to try to look ahead and maybe control in the future, and just get a better handle on what mental health anxiety looked like for me.
Thanks for sharing that. Seriously. Court.
I think for me, starting really in seventh grade and having that kind of explosion moment was a good catalyst for me, because all of that buildup that was inside of me came out and had to do something with it. Mm-hmm. And my mom encouraged me to meet with a guidance counselor at school, which was just a first step to really just talk about some of the stuff that was inside of me, the way that I was reconciling the world, which wasn't perfect, to my idea that everything had to be perfect. And so I started kind of just hanging out with the guidance counselor, and I went through some grief counseling to kind of deal with the loss of my grandmother. And those were first steps for me. Those were places where I felt like I kind of could move in a direction and start to live differently, because the pressure was too much. Even at in seventh grade, it was too much, which I know sounds crazy because I was only in seventh grade, but it was really, really kind of sharp. And I saw how just living under that angst, how much I was just in a cloud, how I could only see myself. How I couldn't really function. I was numb. I would feel stuck, absolutely stuck, and it was just no way to live.
Yeah. Zach?
I remember the first time anyone ever kind of mentioned to me, like, you know, have you ever thought that you might struggle with anxiety? It was actually my high school guidance counselor, and she called me into her office just to, you know, asked me a question about an application that I was working on, and she kind of stopped me for a second and asked me, have you ever thought you might struggle with this? And I was like, no, of course not, you know? And I was really quick to kind of make it like a joke. And so I left out of that meeting as quickly as I could, and I went and I kind of surrounded myself with my friends at lunch and just made a big joke about it. Like, guys, my guidance counselor thinks I'm crazy. And, you know, I think, you know, really the reason why that is because one of my biggest fears is just failure. And so, you know, this idea of like not being, you know, mentally or emotionally okay, it had to become a joke because it couldn't be real. And so, yeah, a lot of my anxiety definitely stemmed and kind of grew under this idea of trying to not fail. And I became so focused on trying to perform well for others, because I always felt like others had a really high expectation of me, and also trying to perform well for myself. And I knew that I just wasn't going to be able to do that. I didn't want to let others down. So instead, what happened is I didn't let others in. And I really became kind of closed off in certain parts of my relationships, because I didn't want people to see me struggling. So I really tried to internalize everything, and I think a lot of this kind of came out whenever I was in college, just because college is such a crazy time, and you're learning so much, and you're around so many new people. But I just saw myself carrying the weight of so many things, of trying to not let anyone down, trying not to let myself down. And what happened is, you know, I began to just really be mentally and emotionally unhealthy. And mentally, what happened is, you know, every little thing would just pile up in my head. Everything would just pile on top of each other, and my thoughts just became, I'm just bitter and frustrated, and it was so easy for me to just sit there in that place of bitterness or frustration. And then emotionally, I wasn't good at expressing my feelings, so what would happen is there would be one thing that finally set me off after thing after thing after thing, and then I would just explode. You know, and people would be like, why are you freaking out about drinking some of your milk in the fridge, you know? And it's like, it's not that, you know, but it was hard to express because there was so much that was kind of built up just in that, you know, in that one period of time. And another thing is, too, is sometimes I would just get so emotionally overwhelmed that I would just kind of be silent, which is kind of crazy because I'm a pretty, like, extroverted, outgoing person. I love talking to people. And kind of what I would do is I would start to, like, punish other people with my silence, and really just trying to get them to come and approach me to fix the problem. Like, you put this stress on me, so you come fix it. And I really kind of saw just, first of all, that hurting people hurt people, and that's definitely where I was in so many of my relationships, and so many of my friendships, is that I was hurting others because I was hurt. You know, if you guys didn't know, that's really, really bad for your relationships. So it was in my junior year where I really started to take my walk seriously, and I decided to. I saw just kind of the unhealthiness in my thoughts and in my feelings, and I really knew that if I was going to follow Christ and if that was going to be my priority, that I was going to have to submit my thoughts and my feelings to God. And that's when I really kind of started taking some practical steps towards loosening my grip on some of those things and submitting them to God and letting him be in control.
Yeah, and I think the thing is for all of us, it's like whether you're, you know, predisposed to be anxious or predisposed to be, you know, to feel depressed, we really do all have issues. And we all have our own set of issues. They look different. They come out different. They get expressed differently. And even for y'all in the room tonight that said, you would say, like, I'm not an anxious person. I've never, you know, felt depressed. And the reality is that we all go through times, like, where our thoughts are kind of all over the place, where we're, you know, stressed out. And some of us deal with that in a hyper kind of way, and some of us deal with that with withdrawing, you know, and with pulling away. You know, I've never thought of myself as being an anxious person, but I've seen where when my thoughts get out of control, I pull away, you know. And so we all go through that, and that's normal. It's normal to have thoughts going crazy. It's normal to have emotions going crazy, especially right now at the age that you are, where you're learning and growing and kind of figuring out the world. It's normal, you know. And so we want y'all to feel comfortable with that. It's okay to not be healthy. It's not okay to not do anything about being unhealthy, right? We've got to do something. We've got to take some steps. And I think just acknowledging it, which, you know, you three just did to kind of like everybody, is a first, you know, step. But hopefully it's not the last step. Hopefully as we begin to acknowledge the places and the issues and the unhealth in our life, we begin to grow. We begin to learn. And so I want to hear from you three. As you've kind of gone through a lot of life, more life than the rest of the students in the room, like, what are the things that you've learned? What are some things that you learned from processing, that you learned from struggling, that you learned along the way that you think would be helpful to me and to, like, to everybody here? What are some things that you guys learned that you want to share? Just popcorn, whatever.
I think for me, one thing is I would find myself feeling anxious. That would be how I would describe it, and feeling this angst inside of me and not know where it was coming from. I would just have this overwhelm of emotion, and it was very emotional and like emotionally driven response to the world, and I would be stuck in it and I couldn't get outside of it. And I mean, sometimes it would make me retreat, and sometimes it would make me like clean my whole house. It would do different things, but I think the thing was is that I felt like I was such a victim of that emotion. Such a victim of this feeling that was consuming me. And I mean, I didn't always know where it came from, but I think I learned that as I took my thoughts captive to Christ, I began to see that it didn't matter where it came from. I could take my thoughts captive to him right where I was, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed by this emotion. I don't know what to do. I don't know where it's coming from. I could take that to him, and I didn't have to figure it all out. So that was kind of a huge thing for me, and just learning that my mind really did indicate a lot of what was coming out of me and what was going on in my heart, and that there was a connection there that I could actually learn to do something about, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. Definitely does.
I think for me, one thing that I really learned is just that God cares about our health. In 1 Corinthians, I think it's 6, it talks about how our body is a temple. And, you know, throughout the rest of the Bible, it kind of talks constantly about, you know, your heart and your soul and your mind. And God cares for, you know, for us to be healthy in those ways, because I think they're all tied together. They're not independent. And one thing that I just realized is, you know, we kind of grew up in this culture where it's understood that we don't know how to take care of ourselves physically. And that's because we go through kindergarten through college having to take physical education. And still, you know, a third of our country is obese. So obviously, you know, we can learn about it and not necessarily apply it to our lives or do something about it. And I think what's really interesting is that we don't really take time to learn, and we don't value it to educate each other on what it looks like to be emotionally or mentally healthy. And I think that there's such a tie-in there, because I think that there's, just as there's steps, if you want to be physically healthy, you have to be disciplined to eat well, to exercise well. And I think in the same way, emotionally and mentally, you have to be disciplined. You have to be prepared to take care of yourself. And you can't just, you know, wake up one day and say, cool, I want to be healthy, and then just have this, like, perfect body. You know, and in the same way, you can't just wake up one day and say, okay, I'm not going to have any more emotional breakdowns, or I'm not going to struggle with my thoughts and you know, allowing myself to get to bed at night, or to not be so anxious or worried about this test that's coming up. You really have to be disciplined. And I think another thing that I learned is that we can grow and we can learn to struggle well, but we have to let others in the process with us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just so, so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when we were, like, Zach and I have had a lot of conversations in the office all the way back, like, within the last year, I think, since I first spoke at Overflow about Philippians, the verse in Philippians. And one of the things that was really interesting, being an athlete, you know, you're always focused on the physical nature of training and everything. And years ago, when I had to make the decision to actually go see a counselor, it was with the purpose in mind of trying to get tools to do the work, to actually submit to a process, knowing that there was going to be this progression that hopefully I would be able to follow, and not with the thought in mind that I was actually going to overcome completely any kind of anxiety, but that I would actually be able to think better thoughts. And not the negative thoughts, but think things the way God intended us to think, and think things about Him. And it's a process that you really have to submit to, and it kind of requires a routine. So I had a specific routine that I did every day, and that was probably something I did for like 2 years. But I think it's very important to kind of recognize that there's the heart, there's the body, but there's the mind, and we really have to see and understand that they are all related. God created them. For us to acknowledge that we do have to do some type of effort. We can't just, like Zach said, you wouldn't just train for a marathon the week of the marathon. You know, you would be training on a regular basis, and that's no different.
Yeah, and another thing that I thought of too is that I can't always control my circumstances, but I can absolutely control the way I react to those circumstances. And that's something, it's much easier said than done, but it's something that if you practice for, and if you are doing the work to be mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically healthy now, then when challenges come down the road, you're not just going to be so thrown off and kind of be in this helpless place. And I think that describes anxiety for a lot of people, is they find themselves at this place where they're just paralyzed because they don't know what to do next, and they're just so overwhelmed with how much work it's going to take to climb out of wherever they are. But I think that the reality is that if we're taking steps, if we're working on being healthy every day, that when a trial comes or when difficult circumstances come, that we're not going to be just lost in this, you know, negative spiral of just not being sure of what to do or how to get out.
Mm-hmm. And I think I grew up in a household, and my mom really struggled with mental health issues when I was young, and then even through high school. And it made me kind of scared. It made me scared of it, just frankly. Like, it made me scared to have anything inside of me that was wrong. It made me scared to talk about it. It was kind of like, hush, hush. You don't tell people that your mom has been in the hospital for mental health issues. That's just not something that you did, especially then. Now I feel like it's a conversation that we're having and starting, and so that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think we need each other in that conversation. I feel like that is something that is huge for all of us, is that we all need to be counseled. I mean, God calls us to counsel each other, to seek wise counsel, to enter into conversations about things that are going on inside of us, and not to be afraid to go there, because that is what provides help, is actually doing the internal work inside. And so I know without that, if we're not doing it, like that vortex that you just mentioned, I mean, there's this cyclical spiral that just keeps going. And the further down we get, the harder it is to get up. Yeah. It's such an uphill battle that the more open and vulnerable we are, one, with the Lord, and two, with others in that process, the quicker we're able to, like, find ourselves up at the top again, breathing the life that Christ has given us, instead of drowning in the thoughts that we are creating. Like, our thoughts become our masters, and we have to stop that, and we have to help people help us stop that.
And one thing that I learned from walking alongside someone who was dealing with emotional and mental unhealth is that it's not your job to fix the person. Like, it was never my job to fix my wife. And in fact, I wouldn't do that very well at all. God does that. I learned that it's God's job to come alongside. And what I do and what we get to do for each other, all of us, wherever we are, we get to come alongside of other people and just come with them, endure with them through the process of them learning, of them taking steps, encouraging, speaking truth, sometimes challenging, but not fixing, really walking alongside. And what's so cool is that, like, I learned that when you do that, when I don't try to fix someone else, when I simply come alongside of them through the process, God actually does the work in them. He does part of the work through you. And that's a powerful thing. When you learn just to walk alongside of that person with God, he works through you to help them. And, I mean, what more, you know, could we ask for than that? Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because we were having this conversation, and I thought of my wife. We've been married for almost 13 years, and she's adorable. She'll say, like, you know, I wasn't very helpful for the first few years or something like that with this, and it's actually quite the opposite, because that's exactly what she did.
Yeah.
You know, I was for the first 6 or 7 years, we were kind of touch and go as far as the anxiety was concerned and stuff, and I ruined a couple of vacations, and I ruined a couple events and things, because I would be too tuned into those negative thoughts. But her walking alongside me that whole time was very special, and actually, you know, I've seen the benefit of that on this side, to be able to get through that, work through that, and then do that for other people.
Yeah.
Now it's just shocking to me that anyone would ever ask me anything about anxiety is kind of crazy. So it's a privilege and honor to do that, but it's only because of that grace time, that time of grace, I think. Yeah.
I had just one last little thought, and it was just that, I mean, you know, I shared seventh grade was kind of when things came to a head and where I started learning, but you guys, I just wanted to share for all of us, like, this has been and is a learning process, like, taking our thoughts captive to Christ, it's an ongoing process. It's not just you get over the hump of anxiety and then you're done. It's you learn to trust God. I mean, for me, that was kind of what made all the difference, was the more I intimately got to know my Savior and my Father, the one that I could entrust my life to, even though the world isn't perfect. Like, you know, that's how we've grown. And I can say, like, there's actual real freedom in that growth. But it's been a very long, consistent journey.
Yeah, yeah. And so we can't fix people, but we can definitely encourage people. And so what I want to do is for you guys to encourage Overflow through a passage of scripture that we all talked about that's, like, really impactful in your lives, in my life, and probably for you guys. It's Philippians 4. And so if you have your Bible, you can turn to Philippians 4. And what I want to do is I just want to read Philippians 4, verses 5, kind of midway through 5 through 9. And then I want you three just to share, like, what were the things about this passage that encouraged you or maybe challenged you, but that is encouraging to all of us. So I'm going to read it. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be up on the screen, and then we'll hear from these three. Philippians 4, 5 through 9 says, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard from and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." What were the things that were encouraging and for you from that?
Just right off the bat, y'all, my hands are so sweaty, I feel like I'm going to drop my mic. Just going to take care of that real quick. So right off the bat, it says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. I mean, just what I said a minute ago, like, learning to trust the person who is with me, the one who is near, the one who is at hand, who is always there. I mean, that is a huge part of this process, because I mean, this verse used to really kind of ticked me off when I read it. Like, it made me so mad. It was like rubbing salt into a wound. It's saying, do not be anxious. And I'm like, I know, don't be anxious. I'm anxious. You know, so it would kind of, like, aggravate me. But now there's so much freedom in this passage, now that I have really learned and dug into it. But it doesn't start anywhere unless I am able to remember, and that's a huge part of this, is remembering that the Lord is near. Because we quickly forget. I have to preach to myself daily that the Lord is near. As those angst feelings rise up in me, to take a breath and say, the Lord is near. He is with me. Like, he is in this mess that I am in, because sometimes life is messy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've had very, very similar feelings to this passage. I'll just read it again. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. And I'm like, okay, that just makes me more anxious. Like, I know that I'm not supposed to be anxious. I'm anxious anyway. That's why I'm in this mess, God. You know, like,
thanks a lot.
Thanks, you're not, this isn't really helping me. You know, but as you read on, it says, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. And I think something that was so amazing about that to me is I had to get over this idea of not being anxious, and I had to really look in to see what God's promising here. Mm-hmm. And what he's promising is that if you submit these things to God, then what he does is he, although you don't always understand what's going on, although you don't always understand what he's doing or why he's put you in this situation or why he's allowed these circumstances to happen to you, what he's done is he's given you a peace mm-hmm. that surpasses all understanding. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to always understand our circumstances. We don't always have to understand what God is doing, what God's purpose is, to trust him. And when we're able to do that, whenever we're able to trust that God is working in the midst of whatever is going on, we're able to be to have peace. And I think an important point is that peace is not understanding, but peace comes from Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think that is such a powerful thing for us to kind of wrap our heads around. And it's just so easy for us, I think, it's easy for me to look back on my life and to see how God has been faithful. And what is so crazy is that I look at tomorrow and sometimes I'm just so anxious. And it's like I somehow have made it two separate gods, of like the God of the past who was good to me and has brought me to this place today. And I look at God tomorrow like he's a different person and like he doesn't care or like he doesn't know what's best. But whenever I'm able to trust in him, it says, you know, we can be thankful. And one thing that I love at the end, it says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts, mm-hmm. your hearts, which is emotional health, and your minds, which is mental health. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. I feel like God is just answering just these questions that we have about what does it mean to be healthy in just this one verse.
Yeah, I think the special thing about the verse in Philippians for me, this, as we were all listing these verses as our kind of go-to during our seasons of anxiety, this was the verse that I was pointed towards by a pastor that I met with a few years ago, and he instructed me to write it out every day. And so I would do that and try to break apart each thing, but one of the things that stuck out to me the most with my battle was verses 8 and 9, where it's telling us to think of specific things. So to think your thoughts and think positive thoughts, or to think things, you know, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. And if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about such things, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So I used to assume that if I just ask God to give me peace, knowing that he is well aware that I need it, mm-hmm. that it would happen. And that's naive, possibly, but when you're trying to figure out life and you're going through some tumultuous years and everything, you're just trying anything. And I didn't actually put it together, and so I was sitting in this pastor's office, and he said, you actually need to think about these things. You actually need to write these things down, because it's one thing to be commanded to not be anxious, like we're all saying. I used to see that and say, well, that's easy enough to just assume that I can just not be anxious, that I wish it was that easy. And so it actually required a lot of effort to change the focus that I had from one of fear to one of faith, because they can't share the same space. I don't have enough room up here to deal with either negative thoughts taking up all of my space, or it's one or the other, or the spiritual pure thoughts that are of God and that are going to help me move out of the anxious thoughts. So it was this intersect of, am I going to submit to the shaping, or am I going to submit to the struggle? Am I going to be okay with struggling the rest of my life, or am I going to be better off if I actually allow God to shape me? And that requires thinking about these things, and that's different for all of us, and all of us on stage. That's why we're here, and that looks different, but it does require that thought process.
Mm-hmm. I think it also reminds me of James 3. In James 3, it talks about how a saltwater spring can't produce fresh water, and a freshwater spring can't produce salt water. And the idea is whatever you're filled with is going to be what comes out. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you look back at this verse, and if you're filled with things that are true, that are noble, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, things that are admirable, things that are excellent, things that are praiseworthy, those are going to be things that come out of us. And that's the importance of filling ourselves with God's truth. And it's the importance of having people around us that can remind us of those things and tell us truth when we're doubting, or when we're struggling, or when we're having a hard time, so that we can be reminded of those things, so that we can be filled with those things, so that those things will be the expression. Those will be the things that come out of our lives.
It reminds me of just Romans, in Romans 12, too, it tells us to renew our minds. Mm-hmm. And there's this work of renewing our minds, not just not being anxious, because the harder we try to not be anxious, like this verse says, in fact, our experience tells us the more anxious we become. Yeah. So it takes more than just trying to not be anxious. It takes renewing your mind, which is these praiseworthy thoughts that is dwelling on the things of God, the promises of God, the things that are ours in Him, and letting our thoughts stay there, be stayed in that place, and remembering. I think that's how we renew our minds, and that's how we enter in this process of not being anxious. It's not because we try real hard not to be anxious, but it's because our minds are renewed.
Because God is near.
Yeah, I think the thing that's interesting is the vulnerability that occurs when we start to sway a little bit in our thoughts. Like in Luke, it says, the devil's waiting to prowl to devour you like a roaring lion. And so that just like recently stuck out to me, because it wasn't something that I was like aware of, like, oh, if I'm actually making myself vulnerable to this and not actually filling things in my mind with like of God and the correct thought process, I'm actually exposing myself to more anxiety. Mm-hmm. And that vulnerability is something that we all have, and we're not going to ever be void of it. We're always going to be kind of swimming upstream, but we at least have to make that effort and be conscientious of that fact.
Yeah.
One thing I love in the song that we sing here, Sons and Daughters, in the bridge, it says, when the lies speak louder than the truth, remind me that I belong to you. Mm-hmm. And it's just that idea of replacing the lies that we are so tempted to believe and are so easily just crowd our mind when we're stressed, and to replace that with a truth from the Bible of that we belong to God. Mm-hmm. And that's how we do what in that song that we just introduced tonight. That's how we rest in His promises. Yeah. And that's how our confidence is in His promises. Mm-hmm. Is by knowing them.
Yep.
And then by reminding ourselves of those mm-hmm. things in times of doubt.
Yeah, it's awesome. And like I said at the very beginning, this is the start of a conversation. Yeah. And I think these three could probably talk all night, but I won't let them. And so I hope that things that they've shared, one, were helpful, and two, were encouraging to you guys. So can y'all give it up for Zach and Court and JJ? And the reality is that, like, no one message, no entire series, if we did it for 15 weeks, would, like, solve our problems or solve our issues, right? It takes more than that. And it begins with being vulnerable and acknowledging kind of where we're at. And I just want to close with some really challenging and awesome words from Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says this, and this is after a season that's struggle for Paul, and maybe even it probably could have included some mental and emotional unhealth in his life. And he writes this, he says, but he said to me, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's the promise, is that God's grace is sufficient for all of us, and that his power is seen as perfectly yielded and wielded in our lives, in our weakness. And so Paul goes around boasting, and it's not this bragging or pride of his weakness. It's this just honest and vulnerable acknowledgement. I have a struggle. I have weakness in my life. And I want to be honest about that because I want God in that place. And so I think that's where we close tonight is, you know, we're not asking you guys to go do anything right now or figure it out. You know, some of you want to go like, I'm not going to be anxious. We're asking you to start with just being real and honest and vulnerable with yourself first, and letting, you know, being vulnerable and honest with God, letting him in that place. And maybe this week it is having some conversations with your friends. So let them in to the thoughts in your heads, the emotions in your heart, but really resting on the promise that God's grace is sufficient, that his power is perfect. And we want you to leave this place with courage tonight to be vulnerable, and courage to come back and to continue in this conversation on mental and emotional health and what God has for us and his design for us to live full and to live free, okay? Let me pray for you guys, and we're gonna sing one last song. God, and we just thank you for this night, for this opportunity to be real on stage. God, we thank you that you are near. God, that you're near to the brokenhearted. You're near to those who are struggling. You're near to those who are anxious. You're near to those who are depressed. You're near to those whose thoughts are just out of control. You're near to those whose emotions are just hurting and painful and who've pulled away from feeling. You're near, God. And I just pray that in this space tonight that we would be able to be really honest and be really vulnerable with you, with ourselves, with others. And God, we wouldn't try to fix ourselves, but God, that we would rest in your promises. All your promises. And God, we know that in your promises, every promise that you've made to us is fulfilled fully in Jesus. No promise is left undone. No promise is not going to become true. They're all true in Jesus. And we cling to that. We cling to you. And we ask that in that, God, that you would just do a work in us, in our minds, in our hearts, in our emotions, in our thoughts. And God, that you would give us the courage to enter in to this conversation, to enter in to what you want to do in us and what you want to do through us. God, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.